Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And what we got was a photo op on an aircraft carrier last night, but no one was saying mission accomplished. The USS Intrepid aircraft carrier, or World War II-era ship, now a famous floating museum on the west side of Manhattan, was the scene of a candidate forum on NBC News television. Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton, one after the other, sharing their plans to confront the threats the U.S. faces overseas and would face overseas during any presidency that they would assume if they won the White House. The forum was organized by the group IAVA, Iraq and Afghanistan Veterans of America, and in the audience were mostly veterans and uniformed military personnel. Would you buy what these would-be commanders-in-chief were selling last night? You can call us at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Takeaway Washington correspondent Todd Zwillick joins me now. A study in contrast, wouldn't you say, Todd?
John, it was a study in how not to have a presidential forum, from the choice of the moderator to the time that was allotted. Voters, journalists, observers learned almost nothing of substance on what these two would-be commanders-in-chief would do to handle national security crisis threats around the world, chronic and acute threats around the world. I can't paint a different picture for you, John, than to tell you it was awful. It was really awful. Now, Matt Lauer, the host of the Today Show, was chosen as the moderator. He spent about a third of Hillary Clinton's time on her emails. There were some questions on her emails and questions of whether voters can trust her because of the use of her email. One of the most interesting parts about this actually came from just before the forum started. Some news broke, released by House Democrats who are obviously trying to help Hillary Clinton. There has been a debate between Hillary Clinton and former Secretary of State Colin Powell about whether or not he used private emails in that job and whether he told her that, in fact, she should do the same. House Democrats, who have documents from email reviews pertaining to Hillary Clinton, released an email on January 23rd of 2009, 3 days after Hillary Clinton took office, in which Colin Powell specifically tells her that he uses a private phone line connected to a computer. He uses it in his office. He uses it on the road to communicate with world leaders, to communicate with other politicians, basically instructing her on how to use private email. Now, that's not a defense of Hillary Clinton, except it adds a much different fact to the narrative when Colin Powell says that Hillary Clinton was using private emails for over a year.
Now, that wasn't
true.
That wasn't talked about last night, but we did get a pretty definitive statement from Hillary Clinton about the emails. What did you hear?
Well, Hillary Clinton was challenged on her emails, and she did give a little bit more of a specific explanation as to why this wasn't the national security threat that Republicans and some in the media have painted it out to be. She was also asked about the potential that this system could have been hacked even when she used it overseas. Listen.
Matt, there is no evidence. Of course, anything is possible. But what is factual is the State Department system was hacked. Most of the government systems are way behind the curve. We've had hacking repeatedly, even in the White House. There is no evidence my system was hacked.
Because she bought a better computer, perhaps. But that's something also that didn't come up. Hillary did seem to defy Matt Lauer's attempt to don't bash your opponent rule that was established right at the top of the forum. What did you think about that?
Yeah, they both candidates did that. That's to be expected because neither candidate is popular and they want to contrast with the shortcomings of the others. And with only 27 minutes per candidate on national security, you're just not going to get a great deal of substance, especially when they can't resist attacking one another. Now, Hillary Clinton pointed to Donald Trump's record criticizing her on things where he agreed. For instance, on his support for the war in Iraq. Here is Donald Trump, guys. Cue up number four here, saying that he was against the war in Iraq despite his criticisms of Hillary Clinton voting for authorization there.
I was against the war in Iraq because I said it's going to totally destabilize the Middle East, which it has. It has absolutely been a disastrous war. And by the way, perhaps almost as bad was the way Barack Obama got out. That was a disaster.
Of course, Trump told Howard Stern that he supported the war. And here's Hillary Clinton saying that Donald Trump supported her on Libya.
He's on record extensively supporting intervention in Libya when Gaddafi was threatening to massacre his population. I put together a coalition that included NATO, included the Arab League, and we were able to save lives. We did not lose a single American in that action.
But I think this comment from Donald Trump was mind-blowing. What do you think, Todd?
Under the leadership of Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, the generals have been reduced to rubble. They have been reduced to a point where it's embarrassing for our country. You have a force of 30,000 or so people. Nobody really knows, but probably 30,000 people. And I can just see the great, as an example, General George Patton spinning in his grave as ISIS we can't beat.
John, it's a remarkable statement from somebody who wants to be commander-in-chief that the generals have been reduced to rubble, that he knows more than the generals about ISIS. Matt Lauer did try to pin Donald Trump down on his plan to defeat ISIS. He, again, said he's not going to telegraph that plan because it would tip his hand. Donald Trump's military plan also calls for generals to come back with him within 30 days on a plan to defeat ISIS. It's incoherent in the end. And in the end, this forum didn't shed any coherence on that plan at all. Debates start September 26th at Hofstra University in Long Island. And it's at that point where we hope that people who watch this debate and had the lessons learned from it will give voters a clearer picture of where the candidates stand.
And the other two headlines were the, you know, apparent complimenting of Vladimir Putin and the tweet about why are women in the military if you don't want so much sexual harassment. All that stuff's going to be chewed over on Capitol Hill and everywhere else, don't you think?
Yeah, all parts of Donald Trump's history and trying to retrofit the comments and off-the-cuff comments he's made so many times in his history into the role of commanding the U.S. military and intelligence service.
Todd Zwillick, Takeaway Washington Commander-in-Chief Correspondent. Thank you so much, Todd.
Sure, John.
Let's get a reaction now from retired Brigadier General Pete Dawkins, a veteran who served for 24 years in the U.S. Army. He's a graduate of West Point, a Heisman Trophy winner, Rhodes Scholar, and a former Republican candidate for the U.S. Senate. So while he hardly speaks for everyone in the military, he's a live data point for us today. General Dawkins, welcome to The Takeaway.
Hi, John.
Is it appropriate for it appears as though uniformed personnel in the United States are judging the civilian leadership? Isn't that supposed to be separate? We don't necessarily elect who our generals say is the best person to lead us, right?
Well, there's a wonderful tradition in the American military of being responsive to and subservient to the political leadership. And I think one of the things that's distinctive about the military culture in our country, as composed with a lot of others, is that they, I think, have remained true to that sense of responsibility.
In a command situation, does the tone of Donald Trump, I did this, I did that, well, I meant that, but I didn't really do that, you know, the kinds of back and forth and off the top of his head tone, does that concern you at all in a situation room kind of scene?
You know, one of the interesting things was when Matt Lauer asked about at the beginning, why are they qualified to be commander in chief to each, to Secretary Clinton and to Mr. Trump? Secretary Clinton emphasized, you know, temperament and judgment and steadiness and how complicated many of the decisions that the president as commander in chief would have to make. And Mr. Trump said, I've got great experience internationally and I have a good judgment, and didn't really nail that point, I didn't feel.
Yeah, he's been around the world, but, you know, you wonder what he would do in that situation room. On the other hand, Hillary Clinton represents a political elite in the United States, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, that the U.S. military has reason to mistrust for a whole lot of reasons, given the Afghanistan war and the Iraq war and the kinds of policy decisions that have been made, the penalties for which have been borne by the U.S. military in terms of casualties and missions that in certain cases were hopeless. How do you think she did representing that political elite?
Well, I think she made the point that in retrospect, she felt the war in Iraq was a mistake and was challenged by Matt Lauer on that and stuck, you know, firmly to that position. I was a little surprised when she said she would never send U.S. troops ever again to Iraq because we have U.S. troops in Iraq. Mr. Trump said he was totally against the war in Iraq when it certainly appears as though his stance for quite a while has been that he was not against the war in Iraq. When asked what should have been done that would have led to a better outcome, he said we should have taken the oil, which from what I've been able to understand was going to be a very difficult stance to take, since many people who are critics of our involvement were presupposing that the reason we went into Iraq was to take their oil, control their oil reserves, which are, of course, massive.
And, of course, I mean, the idea of just taking the oil, occupying Basra in the south and creating a military fortress in southern Iraq just seems to be kind of Star Trek fantasy, if you ask me. But I, you know, I don't know about that. Does that cause you to grimace a little bit as a general if you were asked to do something like that?
Well, not so much as a general, but I must say I question the wisdom of doing that. I suppose it would have been feasible to have built fortresses around the oil facilities and whatnot, but I think even that would have been very difficult to do.
Well, General, we're out of time. Let me ask you before we go. You're the Heisman Trophy winner. Who would you rather receive a downfield forward pass from, Hillary Clinton or Donald Trump at this point?
I'm going to punt on that, if I can use the football analogy. I believe that the upcoming debates are going to be very instrumental, not just people in uniform or veterans, but in all Americans, to make a judgment. We're coming down to a point where a decision is going to be made.
You're permitted to punt. I suspect Hillary Clinton would have a better spy role than Donald Trump.
It would be a very interesting game.
Yeah, there you go.
Let me put it that way.
There you go. Retired General Pete Dawkins won't bite at that one, and he's a smart man. Edwards, Colorado is where he spoke to us from. Pete Dawkins, thanks so much.
Thanks, John.